Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's about that time that the studio is out of control because it's the Spooky Lucho. This is Sana Cody, and the studio's already acting up, so it must be, wait a minute, that means Creepy Steph must be in the house as well. Are you there, Creepy?
Hey, Sana Cody.
I knew it. It's either Spooky Lou or Creepy Steph. When they're around, the studio goes crazy, and when...
Mute for a couple of seconds.
What's going on here? I don't understand this. What's going on? Well, wait a minute. We have an operator from Area 51 connecting the call. Okay, let's see if this works. Nope, it's not working. See, once again.
Uh-oh, you corrupted.
It's the Area 51 energy. Or is it, are you there, Spooky Lou? Are you there?
I love it. It's calling from Area 51. You went crazy. Yavier, what's going on? How's everyone tonight?
Wait a minute. Creepy Steph, are
you
there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hello?
Guys.
Of course, because it's the Spooky Lou Show.
Who's that? I know I heard something. We're going to come and kill my noble mother. This is something that was my challenge. Oh, I heard you. Now I need to run. There's nowhere to go.
Oh, okay.
Help me. I need some help.
Help me.
Oh my God,
I heard that.
What are you doing? Don't do that. I'm so scared. Help me.
There we go.
That part always gets you. Don't do that. It's like some, like, I don't like that.
It's scary.
How are you going to be called Spooky Lou and you can't deal with a little bit of spook?
I mean, I like spook. That just sounds like someone's taking, you know, I'm not even going to go there. Anyway. I'm not even going to touch that one, but. Anyways, how was your 4th of July? How did you enjoy Independence Day? everyone
got
silent.
Oh, you have to ask Sana Cody because I don't celebrate it.
Okay, so you can celebrate 4th of July. What about you, Sana Cody?
I don't celebrate.
I didn't say anything.
Puerto Rico,
I just asked.
Puerto Rico has never had its own independence. So considering it as a commonwealth and never being independent, I don't have a reason to celebrate it. And then the other half of my ethnicity, I mean, when the 4th of July and all of that, those shindig things happened, I mean, my people still would have been slaves. So I didn't have independence at that time. So I have nothing to celebrate, unfortunately.
Gotcha. I would have been like, I didn't do anything. I would have been okay with that, you know. That's a cool, no, I'm just kidding. What about you, Lou? How was your 4th of July? What did you do?
Well, I was celebrating the memory of the Boricua slaves that made history taking out the Royal Navy. And I posted that
by taking out the Royal Navy?
Yeah,
I think
you
for the past
story?
For the past 7 years, I've been posting it on Facebook. Huh?
Yeah, man, the Royal Navy, they came up with a plan to end, like, the 13 colonies and gain independence from England, right? And then Puerto Rico ended up hopping in there, and they had, like, their own little makeshift navy, and they held the English fleet until George Washington was able to have the win.
Is this for real?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
for real. Wait, you didn't
see
Facebook,
wow,
you
have to send me this stuff. Educate me. This is really interesting. Wow. Send me this info. I want to read up on this.
You really didn't know that? Oh, man.
I did not know. I knew my ancestors were warriors, but I had no idea how powerful warriors these guys were. No wonder I knocked out a lot of people in my life. Doma. I get it. All right. Yeah. Cool. Not kidding. I'm not a violent
Yo,
guy.
I'm going to buy you a macana for Christmas. I'm going to make you a macana for Christmas just so you could be out here, toma, knocking everything over.
Coco tazo.
Exactly. Coco tazo with a macana.
Oh, man. So today's going to be a... Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just want to make a footnote here. There is a great historian, Puerto Rican historian, Loida Figueroa Mercado. In her book, The History of Puerto Rico, she records that history. She records it. Unfortunately, Puerto Rican government, which is the U.S. government, they don't teach this knowledge. You know, that it was the Boricuas that took out the Royal Navy, which was the greatest navy at the time. So that's,
yeah, they don't give us that. They don't give us that respect. I really need to learn more about that. But you know what? It's okay, because as a people, we really taught ourselves and keep proving ourselves how powerful we are and what we've accomplished for a small island. We really are internationally known, I mean, for the stuff that we've done. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to make the show political or about, you know, I'm proud of my people, absolutely, 100%. And, you know, everyone else that's out there, you know, man, loves you too. But, huepa. So, I want to say, today's
so scary. I thought you said grandpa, but then I realized you said huepa.
I said huepa. Hey, grandpa.
I went deep, so I see how the show was going to go tonight.
Yeah. Grandpa. This is the after effects of 4th of July. I get it.
Wait, how do you celebrate the 4th of July?
Yeah, where did you go hiking? Because I know you're always hiking somewhere.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a great question, except I don't go hiking when it's about 120 degrees in the desert.
Damn.
That's the time of year to
valid
go hiking.
Point.
You know?
We don't want you passing out.
No, you know what? 4th of July was very chill, relaxed. I didn't do anything. I had a couple of burgers and just watched TV. It was, like, super lazy. But you know what, though? Speaking of that, I'll say this. I had a, you know, I wanted to say today, keep it a little different because everybody's probably just on reset, trying to come back after, you know, partying or not partying, whatever, you know, however you feel about the 4th of July. But I had I think I had a sort of a paranormal experience. I want to share. So this is open line. Anybody want to call
it? We make it possible.
Yeah, I'll definitely share. But I just want to say real quick, anyone that wants to call in, share anything, this is open lines. Doesn't matter what you want to talk about. Well, yeah, just keep it paranormal. Call in at 515-602-9792. Share your stories. I mean, we can talk about anything today. Everything's open. No, all right, no real topic. But I was driving in the middle of the night. There's a place called Sloan Canyon, if you guys want to look it up. And I probably told you about the place before. It's pretty amazing because you go hiking in there and you get to a certain point. There's a sign that says, beyond this point, wilderness. I've gone there like in the afternoon, and the rangers will be like, listen, you know, we're leaving. So if something happens to you out there, you're on your own. So you got to survive to the next day if someone finds you. They've warned me, right? But I still go. You know how I am. I don't care. And, hello? You guys there?
Yeah, I hear you.
Did I lose you guys? Okay, I thought I lost you guys. So I went out. So anyways, I go out there. If you go out there, it's probably like a, I don't know, it's a beautiful hike. Maybe 3 miles in, you run into petroglyphs, right? It's beautiful. Twice I've been there, and I felt that I've had, like, a paranormal experience. But last night, I decided to go down there, middle of the night, because it's a beautiful view of Las Vegas. So I said, let me drive over there and take a look and see all the fireworks. So I drove over there, and I kept, as I'm looking at Las Vegas, it was beautiful. Behind me, it's just pitch black. It's like candy. There's nothing back there. I just kept feeling like this energy or something. I kept feeling it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to drive kind of in the back area back there and just drive. There's also a ghost town called Good Springs. It's about 30 minutes away if you keep driving back that direction towards California. So I decided to go do a little ghost hunting. I'll post a little video. Nothing paranormal in that way happened. But as I'm driving towards Good Springs in the back roads, it's like dirt roads and stuff. I put my high beams on because I couldn't see. Then I turned it off because a car was coming. But when I turned it off, I saw like a yellow orb just appear out of nowhere. And I was like, is that a star? Like, or could that be like a tower? You know, sometimes you see those towers that flash red? Because it looked like it was flashing, but I couldn't tell. I pulled over. I drove up next to it, and I stopped the car, and I started looking at it. I'm trying to figure if it's a tower that just has those red lights or what. It was low. It was close, and it was by those mountains. And as I'm looking at it, I'm like, wait a minute. That's not a tower. That's like a ball of light just flying. Of course, 4th of July, right? There's a lot of stuff flying in the air, but it's after midnight already. I'm by myself, dark road. There's nothing flying. It just stood there, and it looked as if it noticed that I noticed it, and it just started flying away, and it flew back there towards those, like, canyons and the wilderness. It just disappeared, and I was just like, oh, wow. Did I just see something paranormal? Or could it have been just one of those, what do you call those things that fly around at night? Help me here, guys. No. When people film, those little helicopter things. A drone. I'm thinking, could it have been a drone? But if it's a drone flashes green-red, right? They flash, like, lights, and they let you know that it's a drone. This thing was like an orange ball, and it just flew. It just appeared out of nowhere, and it just flew like an orb, and it just went back there in the canyons and disappeared. And I was just like, yeah, it makes sense to me. I kept feeling this energy, and I've had a paranormal experience there before. But that was I just wanted to share that. 4th of July.
You and the aliens, they love you so much.
I know. I never really told my story, but ever since I had that situation happen to me up north, it's been, I'll share that story one day. I don't want to share it yet because it's crazy. I did share it, but not the whole thing, you know, and what's happened since. But I'm finding out I'm not the only person that's had this kind of experience, so I don't know. So what about you guys? Anything paranormal
very
out there? Anything? Yeah, no, it was very interesting. And then I went to this Good Springs, a small town. Tried to see, do a little ghost hunting, did a little video, 2 seconds. I tried to eat. The only thing that was weird, I have a voice box. It wasn't working. I turned it on. I didn't hear anything. It was like pure silence. Maybe there were no spirits because I couldn't hear anything. And then I was like, you know what? This is spooky. I'm in a ghost town. I'm in a shack where this guy died. And I'm there, and I was like, let me just get out of here before a pack of coyotes try to eat me or something. So I just left. It's happened before. I ran into coyotes a few times out there. So I was like, I don't feel like dealing with this tonight. So I'm out.
I'm not about that. However, you need to send me the information that you have for your voice box because I need to get one. I want to go to Salem with my sister and try and do some investigating in a few places. So I think I'm going to invest in a voice box and see what happens.
Do it. It's not expensive. Is Lou there? What happened to Lou? Did he leave?
I don't know. Sonic Woody, are you still with us?
She's with the studio.
I mean, that sounds like his mic.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yo, this is like 4 days in a row ever since. Wait. How's my mic? Is it really loud?
No, not really. It's cool. I can hear you.
Is it clear?
Yeah, it's clear.
All right. This is crazy. This is out of control. This is out of control.
What's going on?
No, I'm just trying to work. No, it's been like, what, let me see, last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a little bit Friday. The circuit is just out of control. I think the studio is haunted, man. I swear to God. This is crazy. Nothing's working. It's a miracle you guys are talking. It's recording. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, Donna, buddy, I can hear you.
All right, that's good. So I'm going to continue to work on the studio so I can get some callers on, but this place is definitely haunted. So I'm going to mute myself so I can get this to work, okay?
Just what's the number again so people can call in?
Yeah, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose this.
What's the number, Lou?
515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. Did you hear it? Did you hear it?
Yeah, bro. Am I coming in clear or no?
Yeah, I think there's a delay and stuff, but I'm going to mute myself so I can work. Do you hear a delay on me?
Nope.
No.
All right, this is like a scary movie, like straight out of a B-movie, you know? So I'm just going to mute myself for 5 minutes and work on the controls, okay?
All right,
so
cool.
Continue on. All right, cool, man. Bye-bye.
So, bye. Good. Now everyone here will flush the toilet. So, anyway, Steph.
Really, the
toilet? I mean, no, I said we won't hear him flush the toilet, but, you know, just, you know.
Ideal meal.
So I might as well share a story, a paranormal story, about that hiking when I went out there to Sloan Canyon. So I went out there by myself one time. That's when the ranger told me, hey, be careful. You know, no one's going to be out here. Something happens to you, you're on your own. I was like, yeah, I'm good. So I'm first time out there. I have a camera. I got a GoPro. And I was going to fill, I found the area where there's petrol gloves. So I decided to turn the voice box on, and I put on my camera, and I started doing an EVP, right? All of a sudden, I'm, like, just standing there, and I'm by myself. It's like a freaky kind of situation. You're in the wilderness by yourself, middle of nowhere. It's beautiful. But it's like you start to hear things, but I'm like, man, maybe it's just me. Course spies it's me, and all of a sudden I start hearing, like, when I started, like, saying, hey, talk to me, I started saying some words in Ojibwe, and then and some words in Navajo, and all of a sudden it sounded like somebody was in a mountain, like they kind of scattered or ran, and rocks just started kind of falling, and I was like, oh, like, what's going on? And then I look next to my foot, and I'm like, what is that? And then I see a freaking snake just right next to my foot, and I was like, oh, my God, it's a freaking snake literally next to my foot. I'm standing there. I have pictures and video of this. I'm standing there like, all right, what do I do? Don't move. Don't move. And I'm looking at the snake, and it's just there, and it's not moving. And I was like, all right. So I said, you know what, maybe the snake is – then I realized, wait, I think that snake is dead or it's sleeping because it's not moving. So here's my New York idiot, right, thinking. I was like, let me touch it, see if it moves.
I feel.
let me touch and see if it moves. Then I said, I put my hand down. I'm about to touch his head. And then I said, wait a minute. What are you doing? This could be poisonous. Like, are you kidding me, you idiot? I was like, just don't move. Don't touch it. Then I realized, I kept looking at it, and I realized, all right, it must be dead. So I moved, and it just stood there, and it was dead. I still didn't touch it. I was about to. Everything inside of me was like, touch the snake. And I was like, don't do it, bro. Don't do it. So I didn't do it, which is crazy. So I went out there again.
Wait, so you touched it? Did you touch it?
No, I didn't touch this. I touched my snake, not that snake. That one's, I don't know, I'm trying to die.
I don't want to touch it. You don't want to touch it. Never touch it.
What? Don't you touch my snake, bro. You touch yours. So.
Yo, the two of you are terrible. I'm about to touch all the money and be so innocent right now.
Well, I'm just
saying,
I got video of this
creepy
snake.
Damn it, Lo.
But you're creepy stuff. Wait a minute.
What happened?
Espérate, ¿qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó con creepy stuff? Yo no toca el
nada. I know, right? What?
Yo no toco nada.
Nah, because you're sounding all innocent. I don't know.
Well, she is innocent.
Did you
she's
hear
creepy.
What Lou said?
What the world?
Ivan, I don't think you heard what Lou said.
What did he say?
So anyways, we're talking about snakes. Anyways, right?
Black snakes?
Black snakes? No, there's no black snakes here. They got green snakes. The Mojave Greens, one of the most deadliest snakes out here. They have rattlesnakes.
Not because
the black
snakes.
And you want me to go ghost hunting with you at night out there?
It depends on the season. Like, you know, in the winter, you're good. Or when it's cold, you're good because they don't like cold, so they go on the ground and do whatever they do. But, you know, when it's hot, that's different. That's when they're out. I mean, I learned the hard way, but I've learned.
Yo, you guys hear me, right?
Yeah. What's going on?
Man, it's something weird. Let me see if
can
you guys
snake?
Hear me now? I just fell into a portal, I think.
You
are
sound
you guys
like
there?
God.
Can you hear me?
Sure, it's not the toilet.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I don't know, I'm in a kind of portal.
So
you guys heard the echo?
I heard the echo.
Oh, come on, man. You didn't give me props, man. Come on. I was working hard, man.
So
what happened?
So Lou, do you have a paranormal story? I was, you know what, matter of fact, let me keep sharing the story because I remember one time Lou took me out into the woods out in Inwood, and I had a crazy situation happen to me there. That's when you took that picture. And remember, it had the silhouette of, like, the outline of a mohawk or, like, not a mohawk, but maybe I say that, but it was a Native American dude, like, when they would skin the sides of their hair. Remember that?
Wait, remind me. It was a mohawk? What, say that again?
Was this
on
something else?
What happened?
Was it? The image, was it on you or on something else?
No, we just took a picture in the dark, and it looked like smoke, or it looked like, I don't know how to explain it, like this head or face, and it looked like an Indian, like, was standing there, like, and he had his
hair
up.
I still got that photo. I still have that photo.
Yeah, you should share it on my page. So that night, Lou, takes me out middle of nowhere, and, this is when we first became, like, good friends, and, you know, I didn't know he was really testing me about certain things, right? And I remember that night we were out there, and as I was hanging out with him, I felt something, and I felt like I was getting sick. Like, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but I don't know but all of a sudden I felt like I was getting sick. Like I wanted to vomit. It almost felt like something was trying to get in me that night. And I remember I looked up in the sky, and when I looked, I this is the most weirdest thing. It felt as if like I time traveled or something. I felt as if I was looking through someone else's eyes that weren't mine, and I was seeing like the sky 500 years ago. It looked as if everything was super clean and crisp and clear, and the stars were like just glistening. It didn't look like New York. Like when you're out there, you don't really see stars.
Yep.
And everything in the sky looked different. Remember that night? So
that was just
Go ahead. So
that was the same night I was lost. I'm like, where am I? I don't know this.
We did get
and
lost.
I know that trail.
Yeah. That was another thing.
It was like,
I know you know that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like prehistoric.
Go ahead.
It was like prehistoric.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Steph, you know what the crazy thing is? Lou knows that park in and out, every single, like, crevice. Lou's, like, the expert. You know what I mean? I think he's more knowledgeable than these rangers that work there. And I've been to that trail with Lou many times before. I don't know what happened. We even got lost that night. Like, we couldn't even find our way back. We were there for, I don't know how long, trying to get out of there, right? That was crazy that night. It was interesting. Go ahead.
I'm telling you, I was looking at the trail, and I started to panic. I'm like, where am I? I don't know this trail. And it was, like, uphill, like, more than usual. And I'm like, this is strange. Like, where am I? And then as we started walking, it was like we were going back to reality. It's like we went to the past. I remember that very clearly now.
Now, Spooky Steph, I know that sounds crazy, but it's very true. Like, I was in there, and I was like, what's going on? This doesn't feel right. I was getting sick. And as soon as I started getting sick, like, I started feeling this feeling like something was getting inside of me. And I'm telling you, it's as if I was seeing something from another, like, lifetime. It felt like it wasn't New York. I didn't hear any noise, like cars or anything. It felt like I was there 500 years ago. It was like peaceful and beautiful, and the air was so crisp, and the sky was just beautiful. Anyone listening right now would be like,
thing.
What happened?
I think that's a Sanakori thing, because when I went to Shiraka Park with him, when we did drums, we did drums along the Hudson back in June, and you know, we set up, we did the Mobile Indigenous Library like he usually does. I went with, you know, my kids, and at the end of it all, Sanakori and I and the kids, you know, we all went to go do ceremony where he's done ceremony before. So he took us to see like the little cave areas, and he gave us some history, showed the kids some, you know, plants and the trees, and got my son to resonate with actually one of the trees that was there. I saw what looked like an image of Atabe inside the actual tree. And it was dope. And then we actually did the ceremony. And when we sat to do the ceremony, first off, we were greeted by a whole bunch of spiders, and I'm petrified of spiders. However, I've gotten much better with them since, you know, doing ceremony with Sanakori, because that's his thing. He likes spiders. So it was like raining spiders in that spot. And when he did the ceremony, we got halfway through the ceremony. He started the call to the Semis. And when he started the call to the Semis, I went completely blind.
What?
Yeah, I went completely blind. Like, everything went black. So that lasted for quite some time. You know, we finished the ceremony. He finished the ceremony. I was able to... Once the song was done, once the maraca stopped, because you had, I think, Malia's maraca in your hand, or Malia had her maraca. Once the maraca sound stopped, I was able to, you know how Lou, you wear glasses, right? You know how when you take your glasses off, everything is completely blurry, like you just can't see?
Yes.
picture it like that, like when you first wake up and you start rubbing your eyes and there's nothing there, it looks like you're looking through like a film of cotton. That's how it looked when the maracas stopped. And I turned and I was just like, yo, I went blind. As soon as you got to this part right here, I went completely dark. And my vision came back to normal. I want to say within maybe 7 to 10 minutes. But, yeah, he did ceremony, and I went completely blind. Completely blind.
Did you say anything?
Wow, you
did
didn't
you interrupt and say, hey, I'm blind?
No. Why would I interrupt ceremony? I mean, if for me, right, in ceremony, I feel like whenever you're part of ceremony, if your body undergoes something different or something odd, something unusual, something peculiar, then there's a reason for it. Either you're being given something, right, or they're using you for something. So ironically, when we did this ceremony, it was the ceremony, not necessarily my induction as Casica, but I guess the celebration of it is what we could do, because it was the stone ceremony that we were doing. And like I said, we got to a certain part of him calling to the semis, and it went completely dark for me, just completely, completely dark. So when he was done and the maraca stopped, you know, because we were on Facebook Live when we were doing it, when we ended the live, I was just like, yo, I went blind. Like, I couldn't see nothing. Couldn't. And he was just like, what? For real? I'm just like, yo, not a damn thing. Like, my son was holding my arm when I was walking down. And he's just like, are you okay? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see this? Can you see that? Can you see this? And I'm just like, yo, I can see the blurriness, guys. I can see what's in front of me, but I can't see straight still. And, you know, it took until we got completely out of where the woods were and we started walking past the, what was it, the baseball field and stuff, where I had, like, my full vision with my glasses back. But yeah, I think it's a Shiraka Pak Sanakori thing, because
no, this is a portal. That
was my
open.
First time at Shiraka Pak, my first time ever. I've never been to Shiraka Pak before, and
it
happened to be
there
with Sanakori, and it happened to be during a ceremony. So I think it's a Sanakori thing.
No, those are the. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we
hello?
Can hear you.
No, it's just those portals. They open up. Especially when the DMT is activated, that will rattle, do the job, you know. But that's for another show.
Yeah.
But check it out, guys.
That
I'm going to open up the lines. But
did it.
Yep, that's it. That's the key, that rattle. You know, call-in number is 515-602-9792. Lou, I got to share this really fast. When I first was introduced to Nahuake in Puerto Rico, Borinquen, I met Dr. Yare Melendez for the first time, and she set it up where I would live for 1 week, 8 days. I would stay at a home that belonged to some of the members of Nahuake, and they graciously offered me their house, right? So I remember taking Yare to her house, dropping her off because she can't drive at night, and the GPS got me back to the location, which is way up in the mountain in Comerío. For people who understand mountains, the road system in Puerto Rico is pretty treacherous, right? but this was during the time that there was no electricity. It was right after Hurricane Maria. There was no electricity. It was in January. Electric was still down. And I was in the dark. Thank God for my headlights. But I managed to get back home. And then it started dawning on me. Once that sun went down, I'm in the dark. There's no electricity. I was taking care of two dogs. That was my rent money, take care of these two dogs. And when I realized was, you know, once those generators went down and some people had generators, everyone was in their house, it was like pitch dark. I could see right outside the house. Nothing in the mountain, you know. It's like, and then I realized, damn, it's only 8 p.m. Then my phone started dying. I'm like, where am I going to charge my phone? I wasn't going to go outside to my car.
Yeah.
So what happened was time just felt like it stopped. You know, it was just like time did not exist anymore. And I could hear some chatter, you know, in the neighborhood. Then that went silent. And then it was like
2 in the morning. I just couldn't sleep. I was just like, wow, this is crazy. I was like absorbing it all. So around 3 in the morning or 3:30 around there, the dogs, every dog in the mountain was acting crazy. It was almost like every dog, every block was taking their turn barking. And they were barking at something. And I just got like this weird sensation in my body, like, yo, this is some paranormal stuff going on. These are spirits walking around. Because that's the only way, because I used to have a dog, and Kola, I used to take him in where he had the same bark. Like, like real scared, you know? And I'm like, oh, damn, these dogs are scared, you know? And they all took turns every block, you know? It's like, ah, damn, I'm trapped in this house. Some primordial fear set in, I tell you. So the next day, the same thing happened. This time, I'm like, I'm going to go to sleep. That's it. I'm knocking myself out. So I had a six-pack of medallas. I admit it, man. I was out. I went to sleep. So it was around, again, 3 in the morning. I heard the dogs again. Like that. And I was up. I'm like, damn it, I'm up. I didn't want to hear this. It was great. I've been in a lot of situations and this was freaking me out. So I'm forcing myself to go to bed. And I felt a presence in the house. I felt it. I said, all right, this is it. This is it. I'm the new guy in the block. That's it. It's my turn. So then I was like in that la-la stage where I was like half asleep, ready to go to sleep. I could hear the dogs in the background. All of a sudden, I felt something over me. You know, I felt it right over me. And I was like a kid again. I'm like, all right, this is the cuckoo. Don't open your eyes. And it was pitch dark, the room. All of a sudden, I opened my eyes, right? I had to. And right in front of me, right over me, was like a haze. But all of a sudden, this white haze, it was white. Boom, there was a head right in front of my face of this old lady. And this old lady is like asking, like, who are you? What are you doing here? Like reprimanding me, you know? And the only thing I could think of, I'm Sanakodi, you know? And I smile at her. And then she's like, oh, it disappears, man. I'm like, all right.
What?
I will never forget. Yeah, she's like, oh.
First,
wait.
Oh. You never. Wait a minute, Lou.
What's that?
Seriously, be honest here. Did she touch your snake? Did she touch your snake?
Oh, see, now it's on you, bro. If she comes after
she
you,
she touched your snake.
It ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. Huh?
She touched the snake, didn't she?
No. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I'm being serious here, bro. This shook my life.
He didn't flirt with this one. He flirted with the last one.
This shook my life. I'm telling you. It was the second night I was in Comerillo, in the mountain. No electricity. No, you know, they left me water and some food, but
you never told me about this. But Lou, but seriously, on a serious note.
I feel motivated to share this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying it. Sorry about the snake. She touched the snake. I know she did. But my point is, right? When she saw you,
gotta
though,
take it,
were you laying in? But I mean, how? Like, were you laying in bed? Were you sitting down? Were you in a chair? Did you see her come walking up to you? Did she just appear? Was she hovering over you? Like, I'm trying to understand.
Okay,
visualize.
The dogs woke me. Okay, the dogs woke me up again. Same barking.
But where were you? Were you sleeping in bed?
No, I'm in bed. I'm knocked out. I had 6 medallas that night. So I'm knocked out.
Nice.
But I hear the dogs again. I hear them barking. And it's that fearful bark. I don't know if anyone ever owned a dog. It's almost like a wolf sound. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
oh, wow.
Man, this is when it's scary.
I hate when I hear
that's
that.
That's when it's
scary. Especially in Puerto Rico mountains. Yeah, that's the worst.
That's
go ahead.
But they all took turns. So it was my block. It was our turn. The dogs were like, ooh. And I felt the presence. Immediately, I felt it in the house. And I,
okay.
You know, I know presence, man. I'm not clairvoyant, but I can feel the spirits. And then when I opened my eyes, boom, it was, I mean, I tell you, it was one of the incredible experiences, but I was being, like, reprimanded, like, who are you? What are you doing here? And it was in Spanish, you know, get to hacia aquí, como te llama? And all I could say, I'm Sanacori. And it's like, playfuls. I'm Sanacori. And she's
yeah,
like,
but I mean, oh. What, did you see her walk in, or did she, was she hovering over you?
No, she was hovering over my body. She was hovering over my body.
Like she was flying?
It was like a white cloud, a mist, and then right over my face, a form of an old lady. It was an older woman with long white hair, and she's like, I wasn't sleeping, so, and she's like, you know, get the watch.
Wow, you reminded me of a story. She said that to you?
Yeah. She was like, who are you? Who told you to be? It's like, I, you know, this wasn't my house, you know? So.
Yeah, but you heard a voice? You heard a voice?
Oh, yeah. It was in Spanish, too. It's like one of those old. It's like one of those old
G-bottles.
You know
when
you see those old G-bottles? Huh?
Oh, my God. You just gave me goosebumps, bro. Are you serious? You heard her speak, and it was in Spanish.
Oh, she was speaking. She was like reprimanding me, like, who are you? ¿Quién tú eres? Like that. ¿Quién tú eres? ¿Cómo te llama? Like these old Hibato women, you know? And they could be real stern. And then I guess my nervous system kicked in and was like, me llamo Sanacori. You know, but I said it like a very playful way. And she's like, oh. And then that mist just disappeared. So I guess she accepted me, you know? She kept me there. You know, I think the last night I was there, I left her some offerings. Every night I left her something, but I think the last night I felt it again, but it wasn't as intense. And,
so you never saw her again after that, like when you stayed there?
Oh, here's the best part about it. The family that, I had a rush that morning. On the last day, I had to get to the airport. Yeah, they picked me up, whatever. I was rushing out, and I made an altar, right? But I forgot to take down the altar. I forgot. It was totally, boom, I forgot. I won't say what I had in the altar, but it was for her. And I forgot to take it down. I was like, and then I told Yare, Yare, I'm embarrassed, man. I know there's people going to see that altar. They're going to, you know, they're going to think whatever. Because they were a Christian family. So, and she's like, don't worry, I'll go back. And I'll just, you know, I'll ask them that you left something, right? And part of, well, I left a medicine object. I left it was material that I left there. But she goes back. There was nothing there. Nothing was there. And that's the crazy part of this whole story. Whatever I left there was gone. It disappeared. But she went with them. Yeah, they went with the wife. So there was nothing there. I said, no, you got to go into my room. It's right by the bed, and just put it in a bag, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It was nothing there. So that's my story, man.
You don't think her family threw it out?
What's that?
You don't think the family members went in there and threw it out?
Yeah, they met up with them. They met up together. I mean, she actually waited for them. Because they were living in another house. So she waited for them. She had
So they didn't have the key. She did.
Yeah, I gave the key to Yare. So Yare had to wait for them. So they both went to the house. And Yare had the, you know, it's, oh, yeah, he left something there. It's gone. It's all gone. It's gone.
Wow.
And I was, yeah. Yeah, and I was kind of upset because one of the objects, it's a medicine object that was gifted to me, and I used it in ceremony, but now it's gone. It's gone. So, yeah, man, if Yade was alive, she would say this exactly. She was like, it was gone. It was nothing there. It was all cleaned out. I'm like, what? No way.
Wow.
That's my story. Well, we got some callers on the line. want to open up the lines.
Sure.
731 is the first line. 731, you are on the air.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hello. How you doing, man? How's everything?
I'm good. It's Will. How's everybody doing?
Not bad, good, man.
This is
very good. Very good. I just wanted to say off top.
Ayatagua.
That's right.
Guacocchio Ayatagua. Strong. Man. Go for it.
Yeah, no, it's just a point to say, Santa Cody, you tripped me out. I love you so much, bro. I was cracking up laughing at your story to the fact of, not because of what happened to you, but
yeah,
our head guy, our cacique, the big guy, Santa Cody, the payaso, is afraid of the spirit
he often
calls on.
Nah, no cacique here, just a scared clown.
Yeah, really. It's like, hey, if you're going to sit there and do all these wonderful rituals and talk to our ancestors, you got to expect when you're on our land, they're going to be like, yo, what are you doing?
Lou,
they hear you.
Lou,
you know what I'm saying?
Lou,
so,
wait, hold on, Will. Lou, you're a witness to this. We've been in some scary situations, right? I mean, I keep my cool, right?
No, let me tell you
something.
What I wanted you to share, honestly, is about how you help people that had like possessions and bad spirits in their house get rid of them. Remember?
Yeah. I've been in scary spots, but this was the scariest moment in my life because I was all alone in the mountains.
Wow.
It was all dark. There was no electricity, no cell phone.
I gotta say this.
Primal, man. Primal.
I've been with you some real scary spots. And this is the crazy part. I'm a little surprised you never told me about this story. And I'm thinking, this is an old lady. Normally you don't get scared of stuff, but we're all human. And
Will,
it can be shocking. So I get it.
You know what, Will?
Will,
you reminded me
What's
of something,
up?
Though, Will. Our one of our Bahique, his name is Cesar. Cesar always says this. And I'll say it in Spanish first. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see if I can say it just like him. En Borinquen. Wait, hold on. En Borinquen, tú no puedes jugar con los taínos, espíritu taíno. That's how he says. En Borinquen, tú no puedes jugar con los espíritu taíno. He always said, you cannot mess around with those taíno spirits. They don't play. And guess what? They don't play.
Oh, I mean, because I wouldn't doubt. Look, that's why when we're going to Puerto Rico here in August soon, so we're going to be going and visiting all of these places. Now, my wife, Jennifer, she is very, her third eye is open. She's very sensitive and heightened to all those type of things. So I know when we go there, if the ancestors reach out to her, she'll know it. She'll feel it. And I think I'll feel it myself because you're kind of sensitive to that. So it's something that we are both looking forward to. Because if, you know, we're going to be out camping or doing something or choose to do that, and like you told us a story, they start hitting the tent and doing stuff, I'm not going to be freaking out. I'm going to open that tent. I'm going to go out there and sit down and want to try to conversate and open myself up. Because you never know what those, you know, what our ancestors are going to tell you, what they're going to ask of you, what the information they might give you. Like when Stephanie said during, you know, your ceremony, she kind of blacked out and just went into this trance, you know, that maraca has a frequency that got to her and opened her up. I thought that was awesome. I love that story. That was like the best, because that to me just shows me that it's deep in her family, because her cousin Jen's the same way. Them women are so open to that side that, you know, the stuff that she could find out is incredible, incredible.
That maternal line too, you know, the matriarchal.
Around. And I've seen it, you know what I mean? I've seen Jen say and do stuff and have dreams about stuff and say, hey, this person's going to be pregnant and this person's sick and this something's wrong. And we find out a day or two later, she's on the money. She's about 97% right most of the time. So when she says something about that or anything spiritual, or anything viable, I trust her before I trust anyone else, because she's never been wrong. You know what I mean? And
that's
you and
cool.
Stephanie and, you know, the way Lou and you guys are feeling these things, you guys got that, man. You know what I mean? That's something that not everybody has. It's a good thing.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that.
No,
seriously.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. And I heads up also, I talked to somebody for the Western Health place over here, the haunted place that's here, and I'm going to have to call again at the end of this week to talk to somebody who might be able to schedule us a time if you guys want to actually do a live video to ghost hunt there and do stuff. I'm telling you, this place won't disappoint you. So just, you know, just a little heads up for you and some of the people on the radio show that might be interested.
That's a great idea. Thank you, man. Seriously,
oh,
thank
you
for even setting that up, offering that.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? Lou, I want you to share that story, man, because one of the most craziest stories I've heard, when you took that dude to do a ceremony up there and you guys ran into those beings.
Oh, please tell.
Wait, but you were there, right, with the beam? You were there. You saw it.
Nah, we were, all right, so one time, the experience I had with you up there, it's at the top of the mountain. And the one you and we had was you and me alone, and you were doing a ceremony, and then out of nowhere, we started hearing, like, footsteps. Like, we got surrounded. And there was, and then there was, like, a cave far away, and we started seeing these lights, like if somebody sparked a fire. I had a fire going on. Once again, it was like time traveling. But the fire was more like a greenish, these little orbs of green, and you would see like a flicker. And it wasn't bright, but it was a glow. And I was like, what the hell is that? And then we started hearing footsteps from all directions. Then you were like, we need to get out of here now. And we started backing up, and then we took off. No, but I'm talking about that guy. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially in Soracopan Inwood, there was a lot of different stages of history there. Of course, you have the Lenni Lenape, but also there was a psych ward there for women. Wait, what they call them at the time? The sanitarium? What do you call those? Where they put the...
You almost had it.
Yeah, it was one of those in Inwood. They had built one for women, and some actually escaped and stuff, so they closed it down. They also had the British War, the colonists against the British were there. So there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a powerful place. It's a powerful place.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a side note, a place that we're trying to get into, Weston, has a really eerie history behind it. What had happened was back in the day when people used to have their babies, some would have them at that place because it was the biggest place out here for that type of thing at that time. And what would happen there is the woman that ran it, her name slips my mind, she ran a program to the fact where women were having babies, she would take the babies, tell the women that something happened to the child, and then she'd be adopting those children to places and people across the country. And it came to find out that they had a couple of famous people in Hollywood today that were a few of those children that were taken from there and shipped other places until she was caught doing that on top of, you know, experimenting on women when it came to, you know, menopause and, you know, what they would call hysteria, when women just, you know, got to the point where they needed to have orgasm and they didn't, and so on and so forth. They deemed them crazy and blah, blah. And there were a lot of eerie things that were happening at that place. But that was one of them, man. It's a pretty crazy background to that.
Yeah, no, that's like I said, man, if you have any stories like that, you know, we're good with you sharing it as well. But you know what? Send me that info to that place. I want to go online and check it out, read about it. Maybe there's, like, more historical stuff that we can learn about that place.
All right, do you have my messenger?
Okay, all right, we'll do that.
Do you have my messenger already? This is Renee, right?
Who? No,
who am I speaking with now?
Renee's on.
All right, Luke.
No,
yeah, all right.
Luke.
So what I'm saying I'll send it to you on your messenger.
Got it. Yeah, no, Renee didn't call in. I don't think he called in tonight.
Okay, no.
But,
I heard that extra voice. I thought that was him for a moment.
No. But, Lou, do you remember that story I'm talking about? Those blue beings? I don't think you remember the story. Did we lose them?
Did we lose on a 40?
Well, let me say this, right? In that place, I'm sure, well, you haven't been there yet, but one day you'll get to go to Soraka Park and check it out, man. That place is definitely mystical, right? When I first met Lou, he took me to this area, and he's like, I want you to dig in the ground. So as I'm digging, I found these, like these.
For the shells?
Yeah, the shells. I found the shells.
Yeah, I did the same.
Yeah, so, and it's amazing because there used to be a lady that would collect like hundreds, I mean, I don't know, pounds of them, and you still find them. And apparently back in the days, that's where the natives, where they would eat, you know, the shells, that's where they would just dump it. They would put it there, I think. Or it was some sort of like spiritual offering. I'm not sure which one. But you got to ask Santa Cody for that. But I took one home with me, right?
What happened with Santa Cody?
I would say the story about when I took the shell home with me, right?
Yeah.
I put it under my pillow. And I remember Santa Cody said, you know, you'll have a dream. So I had a dream. I was in the very same spot. But once again, it was like hundreds of years ago, and it looked like. And, you know, I was dreaming that I was this, I was walking there, and I saw this beautiful native girl in buckskin. And there was a tree that was like on the floor, like knocked down. And she was sitting on it. So I sat next to her. And she was, in a dream, she was like my girlfriend or something. And she smiled at me and like, all I know is I felt like I was happy. It was beautiful. And she's looking at me and all of a sudden this look of fear. And she just started like screaming like, ah! Like something happened. And when I looked behind me, I saw like a bunch of like, soldiers. But we're talking about, like, you know, maybe, like, back to, like, the British days or something, you know, when they were here. And I woke up.
Soldiers.
Yeah, it was something like that, and I woke up.
Okay.
So I was like, wow, this is, like, a crazy dream. It felt so real. It was profound to me. Like, it was just, like, embedded in my mind. And so Lou, that same week, I tell Lou the story, right? So that same week, Lou was like, oh man, there's this these Dutch people or something. I don't know who they were, but he invited me to like this play write or they were reading like a play or something like that. It was I've never been to something like that. It was different. And I've been to many playhouses, but that was something different. They were like reading a playwright's story. And so we get there and there's like a bunch of Dutch people and, you know, and other people, other natives were sitting down. And I told Lou, before we get there, I'm talking to Lou about the dream. Like, man, these weird things keep happening with the shells. I put them in one place, and I swear I find them somewhere else. Like they've been moved. And this dream, like, it's really bothering me. And as we're watching the playwright, there's a specific part. And ask Lou. He can vouch for this. So you can continue the story if you want, Lou. But there's a part, it was the exact same thing I saw in my dream. This guy was with his girl. They sit down. They were native. And then out of nowhere, the guy got killed or attacked because these Dutch soldiers came out of nowhere when they first came, and they attacked the natives. And then they, I don't know if they killed her, but she screamed like she knew it was over, like it was done. And it ended like that. And I looked at him like, what the hell? Like, I just told him to
freak out.
And he was like, that's confirmation that this is real. Like, what you dreamt, what you felt, like, this is real. And that's them confirming that it was real. There's a lot of that place. Yeah, that place is. There's a lot. Go ahead.
Did you see a child as well?
Well, a woman. Did I see a tribe?
Just
no,
a woman
just
or a child?
No, it was just, okay. Yeah, it was just me and her. Nobody else.
No, it's interesting. 3 years ago, I got into some maps at the Dykeman Farmhouse there. There's some old maps that I was able to look at. And were doing an exhibit, and they let me see these maps, and there was some grave sites that was marked off. This was around the turn of the century, 20th century there, and when they did some excavation work, and boom, a woman and a child were buried right there. They found a woman and a child right in the same area, Lou, that you picked up the show. I never told you that.
No, you never told me that. Are you serious, man? What?
Yeah, they found a woman, and they found a child. Very old, very old. Had to be native.
Wow. You know,
way before European. So, yeah.
When did they find the body?
There.
When did they find this?
Not too far where we were. Not too far.
No, but how long ago did they find the body?
Oh, this was
our
20th century, around 1900s. Early
1900s. Yeah, you never told me that.
Yeah.
You never told me that. So I don't know.
That's
if I
wild.
And I don't know if I told you this, man. I really felt like I needed to bring it back. So I took, or maybe I did tell you, and I took the shells and I brought them back and I buried them again. And I felt like they belonged there, and that was their rightful home. So I brought it back. Man, that is wild.
Yeah.
No, you never told me
that.
Did
this stuff stop
man.
Happening when you brought it back?
Yeah, I did. As soon as I brought it back.
Oh, then it's attached to those shells on that beach or wherever you got them.
Exactly. Exactly. It stopped. Yeah. It never it didn't happen. It was at one time. And the shells, the thing that was moving around was the shells. Like, I would put them in this specific place, and then I would find them on my sofa. I'm like, I don't remember putting this on my sofa. You know, like, and I'm like, I put them back on this little bookshelf. And I would, and I would come back, and I'd find them in different locations. I'm like, but I didn't move this around. How did it just get here? You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
And that's when right after that, that's when I found out. I did some research with some Delaware Native woman that was doing some work around there one year. Maybe it was a year after your experience, but she told me that just like how the natives out west, they use tobacco for prayers, they would use those shells as for prayers, for prayer ties, like prayer offerings. So you probably picked up a prayer. That's what happened. You picked up the energy of
a
woman. Those are prayers. Yeah, those are prayers. Those are offerings. Yeah, those shells. That's why I tell people now, don't take them with you. Because those are prayers. So it's very important to be careful. To honor
that.
Yeah,
I think if you find it deep enough, then, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was deep enough. And the thing is, I never felt threatening or it was bad. It was more like a message that I got, like it was just telling me, like, and then I felt like I needed to bring it back, like it belonged there, and it belonged in the house. You were right, so I brought it back, but not once did I ever feel threatened and it was bad. It was more like a communication that was occurring. You know, it was just powerful, like the experiences that I had. You know, I don't know what trauma or whatever.
Because I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but for me, I don't even pick up like things I find anymore. Like I don't even pick up loose change on the ground because you never know what type of energy was the last person to have that. And you're putting that in your pocket, going about your day. You don't understand the energy you just put in your pocket. Anything anybody touches has an energy to it, a residual to it, an imprint.
Yeah.
So, like those shells, anything you find could be that way. That's just my thinking. I don't know if I'm crazy or not, but I don't want to take home no bad juju.
Well, there's rituals, especially in the Santeria ritual. They throw money the four corners of a street, especially copper, which belongs to Alegua. Whenever I see pennies on the ground, especially by those street corners, I don't touch them because they're honoring Alegua. You don't want to take a spirit's money now, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, yeah.
Oh, this is Spooky Lou. We got one more caller. We're going overtime, but we got one more caller. It's the first time. He's very nervous. First time on the show, so he's very scared. So let's see what. Okay, buddy, you're on. You got this. You can do it.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Hey, welcome. What's going on?
And sisters, I forgot.
How you gonna forget about me?
How's it going, Lou? How's everyone doing?
Good. What's up, man? How's it going? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, brother.
This is the crew right here.
Hold on. I was gonna say let the caller know. Nobody's gonna touch a snake. He's gonna be okay. Go ahead.
Oh my God.
Put the snake away.
Put the snake away.
This is
so
terrible.
I heard you guys were just talking about like interesting things, and I came in a little late, so I didn't catch half of it. I love your show, Lou. I love when you talk about these creepy things. It's my favorite, probably my favorite episode, shows and stuff. So
thank you, bro.
It's great, man. I love it, man. You know, in fact, I was just reading about going to Massachusetts to look up the Lizzie Borden house and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Yeah, in Boston.
Man, is it true? I heard that they're going to sell it.
Yeah, I heard that too. I did hear that as well. So that's why I want to go there before they get into that.
Yeah.
But it's a bed and breakfast. Also, you can stay in it. And you can do 2-hour ghost tour, and you can do 2-hour ghost hunt as well by yourself. So
yeah.
I might do that. Yeah, I'm thinking before they
man, check it out. I've seen so many videos on that. It's a really good place to visit. It's a lot of activity, good EVPs, some residual, you know, sightings if you set up cameras and stuff. So, yeah, man, that's a good place to go.
Yeah, it's a good start. It's not many things in New York City that I know of. Most of the haunting places are kind of further away. Like where Lou is, Las Vegas, you know. And stuff like that, but Lewis thinks there's some things over here by Central Park and stuff, but I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
In my neighborhood, there's so many different places. There's over a dozen. They do tours every year around Halloween. So many places out here that are haunted.
Yeah, there's a lot
of
it.
Mm-hmm.
But Las Vegas.
That's basically because of the Civil War, though. The town that I live in was a slave town that was then vindicated or freed, whatever you want to call it. But a lot of residual stuff that happened around here is in those times. So you get a lot of slave residuals, a lot of, you know, old-time people and colonial-style people in the houses and pictures of, like, there's this house by a cemetery close where I live. And on the property during Halloween times, you could see the woman standing in a window looking over at the cemetery where her and her family are buried, and a lot of people get a lot of those pictures. Good
stuff. Wow, that's be a very interesting thing to see. I know there has to be a lot of history out there, a lot of haunted places. I mean, I can only imagine all the stuff and the atrocities and pain right throughout history that's happened.
Yeah, this little town here was like, man, forget about it. This was a throughway town, and when they had the railroad active and the Tennessee River being used for freight, they would have to pass through this town. So this is a big commodity town, but the bad thing about it is before the freedom and liberation of the slaves, it was also a place where they were sold and traded here. So a lot of the houses our old plantation homes, even, who was that, General Lee, that stayed up here right up the block? Not too sure, but it was a major general that stayed right up the block here at one of the homes that was just recently sold that was on the tour, and it was built by slaves, by actually my neighbor's great-grandparents and grandfather, the ones who built that home. So that's how close-knit these people are to the history here. It's crazy. I know more about the history of this town than the people who live here.
Wow. I love history, you know, like that. Matter of fact, and Renee brought up a good point, you know, about Central Park. You know, Central Park, there's a lot of hauntings there. You're right. And that's because of all the history there. As a matter of fact, I know when they were building the police precinct there, they found a Native American burial ground. Go ahead.
In New York, over here in Central Park, brother?
Yeah, Central Park, yeah.
Central Park used to be a slave town before it was turned into a park. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Um, Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I know it was fun,
yeah,
I know. Know, but I didn't know that. Yeah,
I went to, Wayne, you gotta dig deep to find it. But I think it was like the newest place for free slaves to move. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they had that Central Park area taken until they were slowly, obviously, pushed out. And then, you know, history is the rest of it.
I went to Philadelphia, and there's a cave there called the Cave of Kelpius. It was built in the 1600s. I didn't go inside because there's this huge, humongous spiders in there, you know what I mean? So, they're huge, but I didn't go inside it. But it's 10 times bigger than Central Park.
Man.
That far as it is.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, check it out. I just remember, son, now you mentioned the Bronx. Around 5 years ago, we went. It was the second time doing this, but it was kind of cool. We spent a whole day from morning to the evening going to either village sites or sacred sites in New York City, the five boroughs, and we went to the Bronx. And in the Bronx, geez, I forget the street now. Oh, my God. It's in the northern Bronx. But Maritza was there. Maritza Potter, she was there, Feliciano, and she brought her children. And, oh, my God, what's her name? You know her. Oh, wow.
Cool.
My mind is. It's your friend. That's our friend. What's her name?
Yathena. Rosa?
Rosa was with us. Yeah, Rosa was with us. Spent the whole day going to these sacred sites. And it was a place in the Bronx that they found 65 Lenape bodies buried. And they took the bodies out.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So we went there, and it was like a store on the same spot on the map. It was a store that was closed. So one of the people that were walking by, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, so we're doing a ceremony. This used to be a burial spot. And then the guy was like, no wonder. That store is always closed. They can never keep the place open. You know, so I'm like, wow, haunting right there. I would love to speak to one of the owners, you know, but definitely it was a haunting. I mean, we assume it was a haunting in that store, but they could never keep it open.
Yeah, to me, one of the hauntingest places is like Connecticut and Long Island. Like, Long Island is extremely, they got some spots in Long Island that's just like very sacred grounds there, especially in Connecticut. Yeah, do you live in Long Island?
Oh, Creepy Steph is from there.
Yeah.
Huh?
She can tell you about that.
I said, yeah, I live out in Nassau.
Yeah, I used to live in Far Rockaway. I actually just, my mother lives in Far Rock, but I used to live there, and I used to live in Nassau.
Well,
that's for a
project.
Yeah, I used to go there because I used to live on Beach 25th, and I went to Far Rock High School. So, anyways, I used to go to Nassau, to Hempstead. I used to go there a lot, and I used to hear stories that they were so much haunting places. Because when I was a kid, we visited Amityville for my birthday. Because my birthday is 2 days before Halloween. So my birthday is always celebrating the Halloween. So we used to go to Amityville to visit the house.
Yeah, that has a lot of history.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid watching that movie.
They changed it, though. Like, they changed the window. It's like it had this synonymous window. Everybody knew the Amityville house because of the physical first, you know, the big bay window that they had. So they purposely changed it because people used to come to park their cars and try and walk around the property at night when people were actually living inside of it. So they switched it up to try and avoid that.
Oh,
but we
haven't
heard
of
the spots out here.
You can only change it so much. People will never forget that house and where it's at.
Never.
But you know what? All my years, and I never went to check it out. I just realized that.
Yeah, I went to check it out.
Yeah.
I went to check it out.
Wait, with the old windows?
The old windows and everything. Yeah, I went when I was.
Did you get a creepy feeling?
No, my mother visited years ago, and before I was born. And then when I was seven on my birthday, 7 or 8, I think it was, we drove up there, and it was foggy too. So it happened perfect time, like on Halloween. And we didn't go inside, but there were people living there. There's people that still live there. I mean, they don't have no experiences or anything like that because apparently it was never haunted.
It was never haunted?
Nah, supposedly it was never haunted. Supposedly it was, like, all for money because the first family that lived there, there was a murder. And then the second family came in, and that's when they found out there was a murder there. That's what the family that said, because they found out the original guy that killed the family heard voices. So when George, I forgot the last name of the family, but that family found that out, and they kind of supposedly made up their stories to make money, and the movie came out.
Capital off it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, to profit off it.
So it was never haunted.
Of course, the warrants. It was never haunted. The only thing that's ever found evidence is that there was a picture taken in the house. And this picture, you see it, you actually see the real picture in the Conjuring movies. But in the real picture, there's a little person, I mean, a little kid, a little girl in the picture. But the Warrens were also kind of, you have to be very careful with those people. I mean, they're not, none of them are alive today, but even with their evidence, you know, they used to be caught full of it a little bit. They used to over-exaggerate, especially the Ed and the wife, you know. So that's one thing.
Well, you know, I have a question. I've been presented with these videos that, and actually today's flyer kind of showed that, about these dolls who are possessed, these human-sized dolls.
And, yeah, Annabelle.
There's a video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a video on YouTube someone sent me to check it out. And it's, you know, Ecuador, it looked like Ecuadorian Peruvian family. They were, I forget where, I think it was Ecuador. But, you know, the doll was moving, was walking on its on her own with the owner. The owner had her, like, for 60 years. And,
well,
no.
And then when the...
talking about,
yes.
I saw the video.
Is that fake or what?
No,
is it
serious.
Authentic videos? Come on.
It's so
now cool. I need to see this video.
Y'all know me. I'm
yeah.
a pessimist. So,
what?
I'm also a realist.
Wait, Stephanie, you said it's fake? It's fake?
I don't know.
We need to find out. I need to let my wife see it, too. She'll tell me.
Like, it just, it looks excessively fantastical. Like, all right, there are certain things, I can understand. It all moves in a capacity or in a certain way, in a certain formation. But we're talking about this doll was physically on 2 feet. Walking back and forth like it was almost animatronic kind of.
Yeah.
So when I saw it, that's all I could think. I couldn't find anything else. And you know, they're moving around so that you could see that there's like no buttons, and they're moving around so that you could see there's no strings, but it doesn't stop the doll from being animatronic in some capacity. So I don't know. Like I said, when I saw it, at first, I was taken aback a little bit because I'm just like, oh, shit. But then you start to see it a little bit more, and it's just like, wait. And that's when the logic starts to kick in, like, no, that can't be it. It's just not. It was, like I said, a little bit too fantastical for my liking.
Another thing is that you have to be very careful with these third countries, especially, like, in Peru or these things. There's a lot of scammers out there. I think the most... A lot of them are like, it's just a lot of them. So I think the most scariest doll I've ever seen, in my opinion, not Annabelle. There is a doll in England or Scotland. Now, this motherfucker right here will give you the creeps. Like, you don't even want him in your room while you're sleeping. I'm telling you right now, this guy is the most creepiest doll I have ever seen in my life. They should make a movie out of it. And actually, supposedly, he is really... like haunted. He's 150 years old, and the owner has him in the house. But I wouldn't be able to have that shit in my house at all. You know what I mean?
No.
hell no. But this one video I've seen, I'm not sure how true is this. And Lou might know this because Lou watches the same show and he knows the people. The Ghost Adventures did a show where they're haunted dolls. And there's an episode that they never put it on the show that they found out later on after editing. It's on YouTube. and Zach is in the doll. He's like by himself, of course, and this little full of haunting little tiny dolls. And the camera caught a little finger pointing, going like this, and then moving like that. They only caught that after editing. Huh?
I said like we could see you moving like this and then like that. Como?
Yeah, you have to see it. It's like in the corner. It's in the corner. Like, okay, so the dolls are in the
Renee.
Right? Yep.
Renee, mm-hmm. What she really wants to say is, was the snake moving like this or the snake moving like that?
Oh, the snake again. Beware the snake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But everywhere you look.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to post
it. Basically, it was on top of a shelf.
What happened?
I actually saw the clip that you're talking about. I watched it. That shit creeped me out.
Can someone share
this
with me? I had no idea. I didn't see this. I didn't hear about this.
You gotta see it.
Now, you know what? I don't know if I ever shared this. I think Renee knows. I actually interviewed Julia. I think her name was Julia Perrion, the actual people that lived in that house in The Conjuring. And she was talking about it. She was telling stories. Oh, did you hear that when I did that interview with her? She was talking about how Hollywood couldn't even like really produce like half the stuff that really happened and how horrific, you know, the situation was. And somehow there's a connection with that doll, right? With them. Cause I know they're all related somehow, right? Julia Perrion.
Yeah.
And that damn doll, right? Let me not even say that. I want
Annabelle.
There's an ugly
Annabelle.
Spirit
Annabelle.
Connected to that doll.
We keep that over there.
The Annabelle doll. Yeah. Annabelle what happened
doll.
Is that he's right. Yeah, he's right. That Conjuring part of the real, but he's talking about the lady that used to live in that house. And she went back to with one of the investigators to visit, to revisit, to show them. And is actually the events are still occurring, even to the owners. But Hollywood did over exaggerate certain things, to which they always do. You know what I mean? I am waiting
a
for a movie to be.
On that
exactly. Yeah, I am waiting for a movie to be published. It's a true story, and it's I actually know a friend who interviewed the real psychologist on who was on the case. And what it is that he was hired by the Catholic order of the church. It's a secret order that the church has for exorcism. And the reason they chose him because he was a skeptical person. So he can actually be like, hey, okay, let's say Lou was possessed and I'm the doctor and I could be like, Lou is just probably, he needs a psychiatrist. He's crazy. So I can easily say, he's lying, right? So that's the reason they hired him. But he even wrote a book on this. This was in the 80s. He didn't name the real lady's name. He named her Julia because he didn't want to put her real name. But he didn't want to also name this secret cult that she was part of in the book because he thought that they would go after him. So it's basically she was like a high priest of this secret cult, okay? So the interesting story was that he was – this is how he first met her, okay? This is the creepy part. He's in the bed with his wife, and these two cats are in the bed. They don't usually fight. They just sleep. They started fighting. Then he hears a doorbell, and this priest knocks on his door. Mind you, he's not a priest. He's a psychiatrist. But now – he was a skeptical, but now he's like a half a believer. He said, these cases are very rare. You don't see this all the time. So if you see in Ghost Adventures about exorcisms, it's all bullcrap, right? So
I agree.
It's very rare, right? So this is what he says. He said the priest came with the lady in front of his door. And the priest says, hey, doc, I need your – this is a life or death situation. He says, this woman claims that she's possessed, but I need you to evaluate her and see if she is really possessed or she is psychotic. So he said, the first thing that came to my mind was, why are you bringing her to my house? Like, why are you knocking into my house? You couldn't come to my office, but it was a life or death situation. So the part that creeped him out was the woman spoke and said, "Hey, doctor, how was the two cats?" You see?
Right.
That's
she
when
knew.
He was like, how the fuck she knew about my cats?
So she made
cats?
The connection to the cats, right.
She made the connection to the cats. So he said he really started finding evidence because he didn't want to talk about it more because it's in the book. But I would love for them to write a movie about it.
Wow,
I think Lou said that he met that priest before. He spoke to one of the head priests that the Vatican sends for to investigate.
Benedict
Rochelle. Psychologist. Huh?
That's
what's
Benedict
his name?
Rochelle. Father Benedict Rochelle.
He's in charge
of the religious order.
Yeah,
well,
there was
many of them. Well, this wasn't the exorcist. He was a psychologist.
He's not a father. He's a Malachi doctor.
Martin?
His name is Richard Gallagher. No, Richard Gallagher.
Oh, look, is Malachi
Richard
Martin?
Gallagher. He's a psychiatrist investigating possessions and diabolic attacks and paranormal. The book was called Demonic Foes. So that's in the Demonic Foes. That's in the book he wrote. And his name is Richard Gallagher.
Wow. Go ahead, Lou.
Well, there was a famous priest. His name was Father Malachi Martin. He's the one that wrote the book called Hostage to the Devil. And because of that book, they made the movie The Exorcist.
But it was based on a boy, not a woman.
Right. Right, so they did a Netflix special on him. I don't know if you saw it. It's on the...
No, I need to watch
this. The life of Malachi Martin. What happened was that he was so controversial, even the church got rid of him. They took his power away as a priest because he was doing all these exorcisms that weren't ordered by the church. So what happened was in the documentary, his last case was a girl from Connecticut, a little girl, and he always had a chauffeur. He always had someone taking him to these exorcisms because, it's a lot of pressure, a lot of anxiety, whatever, so he never wanted to drive. So the person that drove him, according to the documentary, I don't want to give it away, but basically the little girl, I guess it was like, oh, okay, this is a successful exorcism. God bless you. Whatever, right? And then the little girl was waving goodbye to the father, And the chauffeur said that little girl was still possessed. Whatever she did, I don't want to give it away. But Malachi Martin, he died during the filming of his documentary. He died. He got killed.
Mm.
He got killed.
How did he die?
They said it was a little girl that got. It was the demon that got him. But during the filming of the actual documentary, he gets killed after an exorcism. And what happened as he was dying, he called the show. He called his friend who drove him. He's like, I'm dying. Please come. I'm dying. He fell off a ladder. Just broke his neck. He's like, the demon got me. Satan got me, whatever. And so that was like the end of this freaking documentary. He gets killed, man. Freaking amazing.
He falls off the ladder and then blames it on the devil or whatever the little girl was possessed with.
Well, they actually filmed the girl. They actually,
right.
I don't want to give it away. There's other stuff to it, but...
I'm going to have to see it now because I'm a skeptic when
it
comes to certain things,
accident.
Too, and it's just like...
You remind me of? You just, every time I talk to you, you jog my memory. I think I told you guys that I saw somebody I know personally get possessed, and that was one of the most crazy experiences I ever had. But I remember before leading to that possession that happened to him, and not just him, it was like his family. I remember
that I came home. I was coming home one night. It was the summer. And they were like, Lou, Lou, you got to come upstairs. And I went upstairs. And they had a, this was probably like 10, maybe it was probably like 15 years ago. In 2004, longer than 15 years, I guess. And they had a computer. You know, back in the days, they had the big computer, the windows that were, I mean, the monitors were fat.
The big butt computer.
Yeah. So, they were like, Lou, you need to see this. And I was like, okay, right? So this is when, like, when digital cameras started first coming out. You could download them on your computer. So the girl, one of my friend's sister, she was younger. She was just, I don't know, she was trying to be cute, take pictures by herself, right? And she's taking pictures, and they're like, look at this picture. She's there in bed, right? She's trying to be sexy, right? And I'm looking, I'm like, all I see is her. Like, what am I looking at? They're like, look at the mirror. And you see, this really freaked me out. It looks like a priest, half a body of a priest. You can see, like, the face, the hair, the smile. You can see the cloth, right? And it's a priest, and it has, like, a demonic smile, like, running away, like getting away from the picture. And I'm getting goosebumps telling you this, man, because it was a priest. And then when I try to zoom in, to zoom in closer, you can see the flash, right? Because flash went on. And when you look at the flash, I know there's a word for this when your vision makes you see something, but we all saw it. The flash looked like a bunch of skulls. It looked like skulls. If you zoomed in, these flash looked like a bunch of skulls put together throughout the flash. And then you see this priest walking away, you know, half the body of him, and he has like a demonic smile. Like he got caught and he's running away. And I remember I was freaked out by seeing that because it was just too, it was ill. It was really crazy. Like, I never seen anything like that. And then leading down the line, that's when the whole situation happened to them, that they had that crazy experience, you know. And I witnessed it. So for me, that was real because I know this guy personally. And to hear him speak another language, this guy wasn't that bright, you know what I mean? It was just crazy.
I have an infatuation of watching videos and listening to those type of recordings. And I remember I would watch, like, those original recordings. And my mother, when I was younger, my mother would leave the room. Like, the voice of the little kid, like, he was speaking different languages and stuff. So I found one in Russia that I was listening to. And she would, like, leave the room, you know what I mean? But the last Conjuring movie that just came out is based on a true case of an exorcism that ever went to court, because the guy was, the Warrens were doing an exorcism on a little kid, and the one that the movie's based on is, half of it is based on the kid, but it's actually based on his sister's boyfriend, because during the exorcism, the boyfriend told the kid, get into me. And what happened is that's when the movie starts. So what happened was that guy killed his landlord and stabbed him. He's walking in his robe, doesn't remember what happened. And the cops took him in, and they believe, he said he doesn't remember. And the Warrens believe it was because of a possession. You know, so it was the first case, so they needed to find evidence to prove that it was because he was possessed and during this, because the demon from this boy went into him, and then he killed the landlord. And that's what the movie was based on. So he did jail, though. He did go to jail still, no matter what.
But,
he's going to jail.
Warren had to jump to the roof. They went to go talk to the police, and when they went to talk to the police were just like, you know, well, y'all got to prove it to me. If you want me to believe you and help you, because I... They went to the police to get the police to help them in figuring out and piecing the case together. So they had this whole case that brought Elizabeth Warren, and she basically found the remains of the young girl that was in their cold case, and she cracked the case for them, basically brought them to the evidence, and they were just like, all right, cool, I'll send you over the files that you guys are asking me for. And they took the files over, and by the time they had all the files and everything that they did to help build the case to help the young man that was killing his landlord, he was basically killing his landlord. So it was a big old thing that they really brought it to court. And, you know, he wasn't able to win, like Renee said, but it was one of the first times that they brought a paranormal case into court, and they really went with it.
They really, really went with it. And it was the funniest part of that whole thing is when the lawyer was like, "It's, you know, I don't believe that. Come on, I'm not going to help you guys." And they're like, "Listen." The Warrens were like, "What if you come to my house and I introduce you to Annabelle and all the artifacts and you let me know, recording
yep.
and everything, you let me know if you believe." The next day, the woman came to court. She was like, "Yeah, I believe everything." So,
yeah, it was a snake. The snake did it.
No, any skeptic, anybody who was a skeptic with the Warrens, with Ed or Lorraine, it was always, "All right, come meet Annabelle." That was, like, their hook, line, and sinker. Granted, I love Lorraine. I do. I really do. But that was their thing. If you were a skeptic,
yeah,
I'm going to show you Annabelle.
Mm-hmm. She was showing them recording.
What about the
Exorcism
of Emily Rose? Have you guys seen that?
Yeah,
by chance?
Yes, that's based on a true story in Russia. That's based on Russia.
That was based on a true story, a girl that happened to her in college.
Yeah, this is Germany, though. I think that was based in Germany, but those two priests went to jail afterwards, like real life.
Right, yeah.
After she died.
Yes,
so she died.
I remember that.
She died, yeah. They went to jail.
Now, why did they go to jail? Why did they go to jail?
Because they took the woman, the girl was crazy. She had issues, mental issues, right? Because they believe it was, of course, they believe there was possession. But they believe
schizophrenia. She was having like seizures and all of that.
Seizures, and because they took out her medications, they believe if they would have kept on the medication, she would have probably been alive. So she died during the exorcisms. So that's what happened.
Kind of
they put on the priest.
Do you know the movie, what's it called? Deliver Us from Evil was based on a story in the Bronx. Detective Rocci, he was an Italian detective. Actually, he's an asswipe, to be honest with you. And in real, I'm talking about the real Detective Rocci, he's an asswipe. I don't believe him. Sometimes I believe him, but he over-exaggerates again, just like the Warrens. You can believe it, but they over-exaggerate some of the things, right? So he had a case in the Bronx. He wasn't a paranormal or a demonic. He calls himself a demonologist. He was a regular detective. So he encountered a case in the Bronx.
Self-titled.
That had a possession. Right. He self-titled himself that, right? And the case, he solved it, and the guy was actually possessed. He did the whole possession. He encountered the police. He didn't believe in it until he started seeing it. The movie, Deliver Us from Evil, is based on that. He had his own shows. And I'm going to be honest with you, I couldn't watch the show because he is obnoxious. He still has that detective mentality even though he's retired. He doesn't know how to investigate. In fact, he should never investigate in his life. He should not be considered a demonologist at all. You know, I gave him a great example. He's discovering his woman's house, right? He thinks his woman's house is possessed because she has pumpkins and color her room orange because she's celebrating Halloween. I think it's stupid and bullshit, you know, because she has little pumpkins in her house and celebrate Halloween.
Yeah.
I think it's a demonic holiday.
And this guy still has a job and people trust him? I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, and his show didn't last long. It only happened like 4 episodes. Maybe 3, you know. But you got a lot of people out there who shouldn't call themselves demonologists.
We got another caller. His name is Jose Varga. He wants to talk about demonology, actually. Go for it, Jose. Welcome aboard.
All right. Sorry, showing us firsthand. What's up,
man? I think Jose needs some Pepto Bismol.
Sometimes I don't get to censor, screen the callers.
Yeah, he wanted to let us know. I'll show you exorcism.
Now, but two shows ago, we spoke about the Satan exists. So to say that for people that think that demonic possession occurs, the Satan
exists.
Like,
I don't believe in that.
But exorcism is based on that, no? It's on the whole demonology.
It's based on that because the church labeled that. But there has never been any.
Exactly. Where else could they have gone with that?
Yeah.
They had no way of explaining it back then with not having that much education. So they go to what? The church. You know, and they deem it on a demon. And everything was based off of religion back then. Everything.
Yeah. And I don't believe in not one bit that it has to be what they claim that it is. You know, this Luciferian character or Satan.
I'm with you, brother.
I like to bring this up. Let's bring it back to the Caribbean, the Taino way. There's a lot of stuff on the internet, a lot of stuff I'm reading about that our ancestors believe in evil spirits. You know, you see it a lot. I read it all the time. My boyas and this and that. I don't know. I just spoke of a Christian notion. I think our people didn't. It's not in the creation stories about this evil entity, you know. I just don't see it. But maybe, you know, like I said, maybe the story wasn't complete. Didn't get to that chapter yet.
You have to be careful when we say, because I see this in the Taino community, our people believed in the evil or these evil things, because the people who recorded this is coming from a Christian perspective. We really wouldn't know. The Maboya, they even thought Huracan was this evil nature spirit. So they were just very superstitious in terms of the spiritual world, and this is very common amongst every native culture or any other indigenous culture. I'm not talking about a native in general, any indigenous culture native to a land or country, they all have something to do that's superstitious, right? You got, you know, we all know this comes from the Italian, from Europe as well. In Arabic, they have the same thing, the evil eye, right? We all believe in the evil eye, the salache. When you're born, you used to get the salache type of thing. So we all have this type of superstitious thing, but we have to be careful because we really wouldn't know what the Tainos, our ancestors, really believe, because it wasn't really completed.
So then where are we at now with that? I mean, what have we learned thus far to tell us now about what our ancestors were thinking and why they were thinking that? We know, you know, for some of us, you believe in God and then you believe in the devil. For some of us, you believe in a good and a bad. You know, for every positive energy, there's negative energy. So that's the Tao of nature. So how we label it to fit our own perspective is where that's at. I mean, is there an agreement to that, or is there more to it?
Okay, yeah. You ready for this?
That's a good question. Go ahead, Lou.
Oh, do you want to answer that question before I go?
Yeah. So what I was going to say was the way to connect that is to connect the individuals who are our ancestors, where we get the where we get the origins from, are from people from South America, Kalina, the Guajiro people, or those people, they are our closest relatives, and their stories are the same exact stories that's recorded in the Caribbean. Like, there is a god named Yokahu, but it's Yahahu. Yahahu is evil and good. You see? So sometimes he's evil, sometimes he's good.
Now my next question is, I don't mean to cut anybody off. Is this
no?
Is it before or after the Christian/Catholic watering down of knowledge of what that's supposed to be?
That will be before.
Because if it's before, okay, so then our ancestors had a knowledge of a good energy and a bad energy. And they chose to label this energy with a name.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so that okay, I just wanted to make that clear for some people who are just like, but I don't get where his point's going.
And that's a great
question.
That's
where I'm going with that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, yeah, because you think you, because I know what you're thinking. You're like, wait, that could have been a Christian influence into the spirituality of the Native. That's a great question, yeah.
Right, because that happens a lot even today with our fellow Puerto Ricans on the island and off the island. If you ask them and their generational family, their beliefs are based off of Catholic / Christian / whatever religious background. But it's just made suited better for our community, for our people.
Exactly.
So it's going to be hard for some people who try to indoctrinate the Taino way of spirituality, because it's either going to water that down and take away all that Christianity, and people might say, oh, no, that's a sin, or it might show them that there's no connection whatsoever, and that's going to make them ask themselves who they really are inside versus what their religion is. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's very, very true. And that's the issue with the people in the Caribbean that has a little bit of African in it. So we don't know if that can be African. We don't know if that can be Native. We don't know if this can be, you know. So it's
can
very
it be partially from Spaniard
complex.
Way as well. You know what I mean? So whatever they brought to the island in their view, or the Queen's view of religion, is what they live and died. So they came to the island and they try to water us out and force us to take on their belief system. And that's where, you know, it's like, man, you messed us up there. You know, you could have just left us alone with what we were believing. You know, some might have believed us and then taken that to their generations, and some hadn't. You know what I mean? So I'm just still looking to where that is and where we're going to lead ourselves with that. That's you know, crazy question.
Well, I got a true story here. Creepy Steph, you there?
I'm still here.
True story. Ready for this? Many years ago. It wasn't too many. Like 3 years ago. I wish Taina was here. She would. She was a witness to this.
Said, many years ago. Just three.
Yeah, just three. This
is rich in history.
Taina was a witness. My daughter actually was a witness, too. What happened was we were learning how to farm. We were learning a whole bunch of stuff in the old Nahuatl community. We were in Comerillo, way up on top of a mountain. And then the farmer there, he set up camp for us, which is very beautiful. He set it up. We had a latrine and everything, old school. And my daughter, Taina, some other people, they kept hearing like a boar. Or a pig, like pig sounds, you know, and they kept complaining about this. So the head farmer and his assistant, his son-in-law, they were like, wow, sometimes we get wild pigs, but not usually around here. And there are hunters who kill them because, you know, they're very dangerous. They can kill whatever. So what happened was we kept, I didn't hear it for the first couple of days, and then I heard it. And I'm like, what the hell? So there was concern in the camp. We're like, yo, we're here at night, you know. We're like, you don't want a wild pig knocking on tents, whatever. You got kids here. So what happened was the farmer went looking for tracks, and there were no tracks found. So what happened was people kept reporting these sounds during the day and during the night and whatever. So what I did was, there was a party. Everyone went to the party. I was a bit sleepy. So I went to the top of the mountain where we were on top of this hill, like way up high. Beautiful wind was blowing. So I took the opportunity to do a meditation, right? The stars are out. It was beautiful. Straight out of the book, right? So I'm doing my meditation. All of a sudden, I hear the pig. Like that, right? And then, before I can open my eyes, it's a true story, guys, true story. Boom, I got knocked down on my chair. Okay? Yeah. And now I'm facing a cliff, okay? I'm facing a cliff. whoever came at me came from the front. So they had to come off. They literally had to climb up the cliff to knock me over. I fell over. I'm like, holy shit, what the hell's going on, right? Nothing was there, you know? So the next day, we spoke to Yare. We spoke to some other people, and the first thing they said was, the Maboyas are here, the Maboyas. So, you know, we kept it tight. We didn't try to concern everyone, especially my daughter. Was I think she was 16 at the time. So we did some prayers, then we did the bate, you know, and boom, it was all gone. It was all, the entity was gone, whatever. But I want to be a witness. I'm a witness to say whatever that was, sounded like a pig, and knocked me down with a force. Now, the local people there in Awake, they refer to these entities as Maboyas. Or they don't say evil. They say like negative energy, that things will go wrong if you entertain it. That's the key, if you entertain it. Then they speak about Nahuales. Those are the positive energies that people try to call out to. And weird things will happen. Weird things will happen. And that's when they say, oh, the Maboyas are around. And it was the first time that I've learned this. And this is from the people that live there, you know. Then you got your Christian folks, you know, that they'll say it's evil or demons, whatever. But the people that are not religious, that's are more indigenous, if anything. So I kind of left it there. I never went back to research that. But I think that's very important point to research, this whole sense of Maboyas, like, wow, there's this whole battle, you know? So, but I'm a witness. I'll tell you, I'm not lying, man. I'm a witness. I was knocked over from that chair. And I was enjoying myself in the wind and the stars. And I closed my eyes to hear it. Boom! And right before I fell, I heard it. Sound like a pig. So, guys, what do you think about that?
You sure it wasn't your stomach? Maybe you were hungry or, you know,
oh,
stomach was growling.
Dude, I thought I was going to die when I heard that.
It was the snake. That's what it was. The coming of the snake.
Why did it sound like a pig, though? That's the crazy part.
He said it. You were hungry.
Yeah, you probably were hungry, man, maybe.
Thinking about that lechon, he was like, man, if I don't get some, I'm jumping off this cliff. And they were like, wait, bow, put you on your
All
butt.
Right, guys, if we go back, I'm taking you guys there. Let's do a special trip. Puerto Rico, we got this, man. Let's check this
Uh-oh.
Out. Let's investigate. I never got a chance to investigate it, though. Really. There are
I'm
people
actually going
on
the 22nd of October.
22nd of
October. Valdez Jones.
What was that?
That's it. San Agustin Valdez Jones.
Oh, man.
It's funny, man.
It's something is there, man. Something is there that people are spooked by this and they believe this. So it's something,
you know,
something worth looking into.
One thing I can say is that the natives, our ancestors, what they really believe, and I think to this day the culture still do that, is they will never, ever, ever, ever share their real name with anyone. Like, your name could be, I don't know, you know, Cacique Pinga or something, whatever, you know what I mean? And they'd be like, yeah, that's my name. But that's not your real name. That's the name that they would never share their real name because they believe that you were going to do, like, some kind of a bad type of Maboya to their name. So that
wow,
was one
see,
of the reasons.
I don't know, man, but well, guys, I just want to say right now, there's something scary that just happened. We ran out of time. We ran out of time.
Yep.
So let's thank you all for being on the show. This is awesome. We're worldwide. Thank you for. Let's continue this one day. You know, this whole thing with my boy guys. You know, let's see, and like why. So I'm gonna. Let me see. I'm going to actually this last song I want to play. Yeah, tell me.
Where's Lou at? Hello? The other Lou. Las Vegas Lou.
Oh,
Las Vegas
Lou? He had to leave.
Wi-Fi Lou was typical Wi-Fi Lou.
You know, I like that name better than it is Spooky Lou. I like Wi-Fi Lou better.
Really? You like Wi-Fi Lou more?
I really do like Wi-Fi Lou.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I might have
I don't
to
know why.
Yeah, but Wi-Fi Lou is more celestial, right, than spooky.
It sounds like a host name.
I mean, if he's going to keep on doing shows talking about orbs that he sees, might as well keep on calling him Wi-Fi Lou.
Yeah, exactly. You got that connection.
Y'all know Lou is out of this world. Come on now.
You got to come up with
one thing.
5G.
It's a fruit.
Now, there's one thing that we do know is that there are negative and positive energies, right? May you all receive that positive energy until we meet again. Oh. Creepy Steph, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Let's end with this song.
Uh-oh.
Now that's scary.
My little pretty
scary
joint. Okay.
Scary for some, peaceful for others.
That's
I'm getting baptized all over again.
Now, I want to end with this song, the chant. And this is actually this is an actual legitimate medicine man from Brazil. And he is trying to help someone heal. I make fun of it sometimes, but this is legit.
Mm-hmm.